Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Denton, what do you got for news?
All right, so I was locked in last night, Kevin, the same way you were. It's college football playoff rankings. That was the most important thing on last night, right? So we got the first edition of the rankings, and it was it's always interesting for a litany of reasons. I tend to think that the early season rankings are a little moronic at times because I think the committee gives themselves an opportunity basically to get bailed out and where there's not a lot of responsibility on their hands with the way that they rank some teams. But Oregon is the number one team. That's no surprise. You got Ohio State at number two, Georgia three, Miami four. In previous years, that's all we would care about. Maybe you get to five and six, but because this year it's the 12-team playoff, you get Texas at five, Penn State six, Tennessee at seven, Indiana, who's unbeaten at eight, BYU, who's unbeaten at nine, Notre Dame 10, Bama 11, and Boise State at 12, with the two teams that were closest, SMU at 13 out of the ACC, and then Texas A&M, who's a two-loss team at 14.
So I didn't watch the show last night. My question to you is, did they lay it out in bracket form, or did they just lay it out 1 through 12?
So they ranked them initially 1 through 12, and this was this looked a little confusing, but then they bracketed it. So Ohio State was ranked number 2, but they were bracketed at the 5 spot, which is legitimate. That's where they would, where they would go.
Because they you have so explain this to everybody. 12-team playoff. Four teams get first round byes,
and you have to be a conference champ.
Have to be conference champions, right?
Yeah, you have to be a conference champ. Now, what could get creative is you do not have to be a Power Four conference champ. So, if you get to a scenario where the Big 12 champ ultimately has one or two losses, they might fall in the five seed, and a team like Boise State, who would be a Group of Five champ, might be ranked higher than a Big 12 champ, and then they would take up one of those four seeds. So,
that's what they had, correct? They had BYU as the four.
Yeah, so they had BYU as the four with Oregon, Miami, and Georgia as the other three in there.
And so, the rest of the playoff. The other eight teams, you will have, just like you would in a 12-team, you'd have a first round, 5 versus 12, 8 versus 9, 6 versus 3, 6 versus 11, 7 versus 10, 5 versus 12, home fields,
yeah.
Which we've been talking about since this was discussed. It's going to be phenomenal. There will be a game on Friday night, I think it's December 20th, and then a triple header on Saturday, December 21st, home fields. And then the four teams that get byes will actually play their quarterfinal games on December 31st and January 1st, from both sites. So they actually won't have a chance to host a game, even though they're getting a first-round bye. So give me the first-round matchups where we would have one on Friday night and a triple header on Saturday.
So you would have gotten Ohio State and Boise State.
That would have been a 5-12.
That would have been the 5-12 because Ohio State slips into that five spot.
Uh-huh.
And then you get a Penn State-Bama matchup with the 6-11, which would be very interesting. You get Notre Dame and Tennessee as 10-7, and then the 8 and the 8. Oh, hold on. I royally did that because BYU. Hold on. Let me pull this actually up, the actual brackets. Because, it's incredibly.
I can find it real quickly.
It's incredibly confusing when you're moving all these around because BYU would then jump up. So you get.
Here's what I have.
Ohio State, Indiana, Tennessee, Bama, Texas, Notre Dame, Penn State.
Yeah. I'll tell you, so first of all, which of those four games gets moved to the Friday night primetime spot?
Bama, Texas, without question.
Notre Dame, Penn State, Happy Valley, whiteout. That could be it.
If you force Penn State to have a whiteout, yes. But, I mean, if you get Bama, Texas alone, two of the biggest programs, and, I mean, Texas still has, I think, the biggest market share in college football. I mean, that'd be a hard one to pass up. Although you could also put that one in the noon slot on Saturday.
Yeah. Indiana in Knoxville would be awesome. Oh my God, just seeing this bracket, and I just pulled it up, just gets me excited. Like that Friday night and Saturday, and remember, because the NFL's playing Christmas on Wednesday, Christmas is on Wednesday, they're playing a doubleheader, they're going to have a doubleheader of NFL games on the same day, which really sucks. The NFL doesn't want to do that moving forward, but they had to do it this time. But I'm telling you, Saturday, December 21st might be the greatest television football day of all time. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll have the game Friday night that'll kick off the playoff. And let's just say it's Bama, Texas. Let's say you're right. And then on Saturday at noon, you'll have, Boise at Ohio State. Or you'll have Notre Dame, Penn State, Indiana, Tennessee at 4. And at 8, Ohio State hosting Boise State, or however they would lay that out. And then you've got, by the way, two NFL games going on at the same time. If you don't have YouTube TV and can't go split screen for that, I would suggest you get it along with the NFL Sunday ticket. All right. Can I just mention one thing real quickly? First of all, as I see the top 12, SMU's better than Boise State. That's number one. SMU's a very good football team. Number two is the games on Saturday, which we did not have a chance to talk about yesterday. First of all, the Ohio State-Penn State game, the biggest game of the day. I'm sorry, but James Franklin, in that first and goal situation, and he's got the big tackle, number 71, going in motion. And on two of those plays, he doesn't even block anybody. How Drew Aller doesn't pull it on any of those plays. The whole thing was just so James Franklin and so Penn State. That's number one. They deserve to lose that game. Fortunately for them, the playoff is at 12. They still have a chance to make that playoff, and they probably will, although the game at Minnesota is not going to be easy. But more on that in a couple of weeks. And then I watched a lot of football. The South Carolina thing, that last Monday when I saw that point spread, I knew A&M was in trouble. And South Carolina can really play defensively. I love that quarterback. And by the way, Columbia, Denton, at night is an underrated college football environment. It was great the other night. You had upsets, with Houston beating K-State, Iowa State going down to Texas Tech. I love their running back, by the way, Brooks. He's excellent. Indiana falling behind 10-0 against Michigan State. But you may have a game or two that you want to talk about, but Clemson and Dabo Sweeney, he's worse than Sirianni. He doesn't know what he's doing. I don't want to say it, what I was going to say, because it's too condescending. He just does. He's never understood the value of more possessions versus less possessions when you are losing a game. So he didn't use timeouts, and he didn't use them properly, and he basically let the clock run out from, you know, close to midfield at the end of the first half and chose to go in down 17-7. And then when they scored a touchdown at 26-7, when you're down by 19 points in the fourth quarter, Denton, and you score a touchdown, what do?
You're going for two.
I mean, can't any, you know, seventh grade math student tell him, oh, coach, no, you're down 19. You need two touchdowns, 2 two-point conversions, and a field goal. That means, you know, because we're scoring late here, we only got a few possessions left in the game, you have to go for two. He's got the kicker out there kicking. And even the announcers are like, God, he just doesn't have anybody that can help him. He clearly is not very good at this, and there's nobody that helps him. He did the same thing again. They were down 33-14. They scored. What should you do down 19, Denton, when you score a touchdown?
You're going for two.
Yeah, he kicked again. God.
I mean, he's a guy that has never adapted. He was
never
so
adapted
good
to anything.
He was so good, you know, 10 years ago, and then when the times have changed, he is just left on an island. And that goes for the portal stuff, that goes a little bit for the NIL stuff, and it goes for like coaching nuances, because you have to understand how to handle those scenarios. And if you don't understand, there's no shame in admitting, I don't get this.
A lot of these football coaches, they're so great at so many things. It's okay not to be good at something, but it is so vital
to hire someone that knows.
You have to find somebody that understands these are the margins that deter these small, thin margins, you know, in games in which you're going to be competitive with the other team that make a big difference. You can't be down by 10 at the end of the first half, have the ball near midfield, and be okay with running out the clock. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you try to score? Are you so confident that the 10-point lead is completely fraudulent that you're going to bury them in the second half? Do you have injuries? Are you worried? It didn't seem that way. He's cost them so much over the years, but he's also clearly done a lot of things right. You know, it's the same thing with, you know, I don't know, Sirianni. I can't tell you what he's done right.
Yeah, I mean, Dabo's way better at his job than Sirianni is at his.
Dabo's a national championship coach.
But this was like, for Clemson, this was like an 8-week head fake, because they lose to Georgia and then their offense looks really good for like that middle portion of the season. And when they finally play somebody, Louisville's a good team. They're not a great team, but they're certainly more on the level of Clemson than some of the other teams they faced. They completely fold and fall all over themselves.
I was watching that. I didn't bet the game, but I just thought, my God, this guy, I can't tell you how many times during the course of the season I just go, oh, this poor Dabo. He's just completely clueless to the most basic of in-game strategy decisions. Because what I just described is basic, you know, stuff. Like, even the guys that are bad at it know what to do in those situations. He's really, really bad at it. And Clemson is done. You know, that's a loss you couldn't have. They've now got two losses. The ACC is, you know, at the top. Miami, SMU. But Pitt lost. We kind of saw that one coming. We're going to see a Miami-SMU ACC title game, aren't we?
Yeah, historic, right? No better rivalry there. Also, you know who had maybe the best weekend, despite the fact they did not play? There is an avenue for Colorado to get into the playoff.
Oh my God, yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
I mean, the loss of Iowa State and Kansas State.
Where were they ranked?
They're ranked right now 20th, I believe. It's 20th or 21st.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get into, all you need to do for a lot of these teams, they're 20th according to the CFP. All you need to do is get into your championship game. If you get into your championship game, you give yourself a shot, you win that, you're in. It doesn't matter what BYU is record-wise, doesn't matter what Iowa State is. If you win that championship game, you're in. You just got to find a way to get there. And it would be very fun to see Shedeur Sanders, who's the best quarterback right now in college football, him and Cam Ward, but to see Shedeur Sanders in a legitimate big game, because we never really have. That would be a game with stakes, a game with pressure. I would love to see how he and Travis Hunter would perform in that scenario.
So if they were to go on, and I pulled up their schedule, they have Texas Tech this week on the road. Texas Tech just upset Iowa State. What's that number, by the way? I'm going to guess at Texas Tech, Colorado's 3.
I believe it was 3. Let me see if it has moved at all. I think early in the week they were a short 3.5-point favorite.
Won't be an easy game. Then they have Utah at home. Utah's obviously crumbled this year. They're the biggest disappointment in that conference by far. At Kansas and Oklahoma State, who struggled. They have a chance to win their final four games. That would make them 10-2. That would make them 8-1 in their league. Put them in the conference championship game. I don't know who wins the tiebreaker with Iowa State, if Iowa State wins out, right?
Yeah, so that I don't know what they do for their tiebreaker, but I would just point out, first of all, you got Iowa State and Kansas State at the end of the year, so that's going to be a huge one. But it might go down to common opponents, which if Colorado beats Texas Tech this weekend, that would be huge for that.
Right, because Iowa State lost.
And then they both play Utah.
My point is, if Colorado ran the table and won the Big 12 title game, let's just say against an unbeaten BYU team, would they be a top 4 seed as a conference champion?
I don't know that they would. It would be dependent. It would depend on how big they win in the title game, because the title win would be a better win than anything.
But who would replace them as a top 4 seed? It would be a conference champion.
It'd be Boise State.
So now you're going to a non-power 4.
Yeah, it'd be Boise. So really what it comes down to is, would a win in the conference championship, assuming they win out, Colorado, would a win over likely a BYU in a conference championship be enough to then get them over Boise State? Which I think the answer to that is yes, because Boise State would not have a win the caliber of beating a BYU in the championship that Colorado would have. So I would say they would get that first round bye, but it would come down to them and Boise State.
How about Colorado as a potential, you know, bye top 4 seed? People have slept on them. They've played well. I think this weekend could be a problem for them. We'll see. At Texas Tech. This could be the game that ends up being a problem for them. What else did you have on this?
Just some other trades from around the NFL. Obviously, we paid a lot of attention to the Commanders acquiring Marshon Lattimore, but the Steelers acquired Mike Williams, and the Ravens acquired defensive back Tre'Davious White yesterday as well.
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh now comes in, you know, with a second receiver. How many receivers were they rumored to? Going back to Brandon Ayuk, they basically had almost a deal done for, right? Deontay Johnson was a player that potentially they were going to add.
Yeah, that would have been like a, hey, we let you leave, please come back.
Who am I missing? There's another player that they were in the running for.
Devontae Adams and DeAndre Hopkins.
Hopkins and Adams, yeah. So, I don't know. I like Mike Williams. I've always liked Mike Williams. He clearly isn't a fit in New York anymore after they, you know, added Devontae Adams. He's big. He was actually as good as he's ever been last year before he got injured. You know, they're getting healthier. Cordarrelle Patterson, I think, is going to be back for Pittsburgh this weekend. I think they've got a couple of defensive players back. I mean, we got plenty of time to talk Steelers Washington tomorrow and Friday, tomorrow and on Friday's show. But this is setting up. This is the biggest game on the NFL card Sunday. It's not Eagles Cowboys. It's Pittsburgh Washington. It's going to be something at FedEx Field, because you know how these fans in Pittsburgh travel. They're number one at doing that in the league, and they're good. This is the best test since Baltimore by far. All right, you want to get to our NFL buy and sell segment?
I think we should.
Let's do that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the team980.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
All right, we are buying NFL things, players, teams, concepts, etc. We're selling things. I'm going to start with this. I'm going to buy that teams become much more reluctant and a lot less aggressive on two-point conversions. I mentioned yesterday you're at 31.5% for this season. Obviously, there are situations where, of course, you're going to go for two, even if you don't think you have a good player, the context sucks for it. You know, if you're down eight at the end of a game, you're going for two. If you're down 11 and you score a touchdown at the end of the game, you're going for two. If you score to go up five late in the game, you're going to go for two. Like all of the obvious situations. But those situations that have just kind of become situations in recent years because of the analytics people saying this is the right thing to do based on, you know, the probability and the historical, like going for two in the third quarter when you score down 14 to try to make it a 6-point lead instead of kicking for seven. I think we're going to see less of that moving forward. We've seen that backfire multiple times. We've seen it work too. But I think, you know, there's going to be a memo that gets out to all of these teams from, you know, somebody who's paying attention to this saying, for whatever reason, people are not 50-50 on two-point conversions this year. This isn't what we should be thinking about in terms of, oh, if we miss this one, we can get the next one. It's not working out that way. It's more like one out of three. So that doesn't make sense then to go for two when you're down eight, you know, in the third quarter. I'm buying that the two-point conversions outside of the obvious ones become less and less in terms of attempts this season. And we'll see, you know, there are different places that measure, you know, two-point conversions, and then you can look at, you know, kind of the last three games, the last six games. It's something I will track, and I will report back to everybody as to whether or not I got it right or wrong. But if I'm a Giant fan, if I'm, you know, this gets to the point where it just doesn't make any sense to people. And the Giants are 0-for-4 on two-point conversions. They had no business going for two when they were down 24-10. And especially with the way they did it, they dropped Daniel Jones back. Seriously? What are you buying?
I'm going to buy the Chargers getting into the playoffs in the AFC. They're currently 5-3. They already had their bye week, and I'm looking at the remainder of their schedule. They do have a lot of games because they had the bye week already. But they have matchups with Tennessee. That's going to be this weekend. And they finish their season with the Broncos, Patriots, Raiders. Those final two games are on the road. But all of those I would consider to be winnable football games for them, which would get them to 9 wins. That middle portion, you get the Bengals, the Ravens, the Falcons, Chiefs, and Bucks. That's a tough 5-game stretch. But if you can take just one of those games, I think the Chargers end up with 10 wins on the season. So I think Jim Harbaugh finds a way. It's not the sexiest way in the world. They're not a fun team to watch necessarily. But I think Jim Harbaugh gets a way into the playoffs in the year number one in Los Angeles.
I'm going to buy the Los Angeles Rams to make the playoffs in the NFC. They got something going. You know, they were potentially traitors of, you know, even a guy like Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp. They've won 3 games in a row, including, you know, the last 2 against the Vikings on Thursday Night Football and Seattle in overtime on Sunday in a huge game to get back to 4-4. They still have a late season game against the Cardinals. They still have a late season game against the Niners. Matt Stafford's playing at a really high level. They're able to run the football with Kyren Williams. Now, Nacua got hurt a little bit and then got tossed a little bit. He got tossed for throwing a punch in the game. But DeMarcus Robinson has emerged as a big-time, you know, contested catch guy. I think the Rams, as a 4-4 football team, are going to end up in the postseason in the NFC. I think it could be as a division champion, but I think worst case, it's as, you know, say the third wild card, second or third wild card. I like the way the Rams are playing. I like their vibe. I love the way they're coached, and I think their quarterback is a badass. Buying the Rams to make the NFC postseason.
I'm going to buy... You'll be stunned by this, but I am going to buy a little bit of the stock in Cincinnati right now. I think the way they beat the Raiders this weekend, I mean, Joe Burrow is one of the only guys that's thrown 5 touchdown passes in a game this year, and he's done it twice. You can't fake desperation. You and I say it all the time. You can attempt to manufacture it as much as you want, but real desperation is something that can't be faked. They got a game tomorrow against the Ravens that's really going to be telling about what this team is. But if they beat the Ravens, I think they're going to find a way to get themselves into the postseason. They're playing really well on offense right now after that Philadelphia loss a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to buy a little bit of stock in Cincinnati finding a way to get 10 wins and into the postseason.
I am going to buy an upset Sunday. Indianapolis at home, after losing to Minnesota Sunday Night Football, to beat the Buffalo Bills outright Sunday at Indy, to kind of stay in there in the AFC battle for the postseason. You know, Buffalo is, you know, they're 7-2, right? 7-2.
Correct.
They've won 4 games in a row. They've been very impressive on offense. I think you can move the football against Buffalo. And I think the Colts played an absolute great defensive team Sunday night. And this is their chance to kind of hang in there, get back to 500. They're playing it at home. The line is a bit short. Buffalo's on a roll. I like the Colts to come out and play very well. You know, they're a good football team roster-wise, Denton. They've got good players. Like, their receivers, Pittman Jr., Downs, love Downs, love Alec Pierce. They got a guy. Have you watched this guy, Ashton Doolin, play? Undrafted, free agent. This guy can just flat out fly and is a major weapon. They used him in a fly sweep the other night. Their offensive line with guys like Quentin Nelson, good defensively. That guy Grover Stewart, DeForest Buckner, Kwity Paye. I think Shane Steichen is a good coach. I think the Colts are so much better than their record indicates. Flacco did not play great on Sunday night against Minnesota, but I think Buffalo's defense will actually be at home an easier defense for him to attack. There's a big upset brewing Sunday. It's Indianapolis to stop Buffalo's 4-game win streak outright. I'm buying the Colts against the Bills. I have one more purchase before I get to a sell, but do you have another one?
No, go for it.
Uh, I like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know what happens Sunday. I think Washington has a really good chance to win the game. I think it's a toss-up. The action, I think, will be pretty much split. I haven't looked at it that closely, but I'm going to guess that the action is going to be pretty split across the board. I give both teams a chance to win it, but they're a tough football team, as always. But Russell Wilson's been a bit of a difference maker, and they do have weapons. The two backs are excellent, including Jaylen Warren. Pickens is good. Calvin Austin is good. They just added Mike Williams. Freiermuth is a really good target, especially for a guy who likes tight ends in Russell Wilson. Of course, the key is getting consistent play from Russell Wilson in terms of distributing the ball, making plays off schedule. And then defensively, you know, they've got major game-changing players led by TJ Watt. I think we've looked at Pittsburgh the last few years and said, man, that Tomlin, he'll get them to 9-8. They're not very good, can't really score. They're different this year. The Steelers are going to be right there with the Ravens in this division. They play them twice. They play them next weekend after playing Washington in Pittsburgh, and they play them on that Saturday of the triple header college football playoff game. They play them in Baltimore that day. They also have games, you know, still with the Bengals. They have to play the Eagles. They have to play the Chiefs. But I like the Pittsburgh Steelers version 2024. I think they're well coached. I think they've got much better players. And I didn't think it was necessarily going to be a lot different with Russell Wilson versus Justin Fields. But it has been so far. This is going to be a great matchup Sunday. I like the Steelers to get to double-digit wins this year. If they don't win the division, they're going to be right there in the postseason, and they're not going to be fun to play. Different Pittsburgh team this year. That's what I'm buying more than anything else. All right, what are you selling?
All right, I only have one sale, but I think it's a big one. I'm selling the combination of Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence, which means in turn I'm selling Doug Peterson. I don't think they're working well together, and one of the characters in this story just got $270 million this offseason, so you're obviously going to keep him. I think the Doug Peterson thing has run its course in Jacksonville. I don't know that it's necessarily fully his fault. I think Trevor Lawrence has not played up to the standard that many people expected him to play. I mean, he was supposed to be the best quarterback since Andrew Luck, and I can tell you, he does not look anywhere near the same stratosphere as Andrew Luck as it relates to play in the NFL, especially at a young age. So I think that pair is going to be split again, and Trevor Lawrence is going to be operating under his third coach next season. It's been a very, very abysmal year for Jacksonville, sitting at 2-7. So unfortunate, but goodbye, Doug Peterson.
Yeah, that seems like a complete lock. I'm going to sell just because they've won three games in a row and they're atop the division in the NFC West. And you've liked this team more than I have, and you might end up being right. But I'm selling the Arizona Cardinals as a non-playoff team in the NFC, even though they'd actually be a division winner if the season ended today. They've got a very tough game Sunday against a Jet team that's rejuvenated and can move the football. They have to play at Seattle. They got to play at Minnesota. They still, you know, have the Rams and the 49ers. I still do not trust Kyler Murray. I understand there are going to be games where Kyler Murray is running around and he's making plays, and they've got good backs. You know, Connor's good, and this DeMarcado guy is good. Did you see the end of the first half? Did we play that highlight the other day, yesterday?
The DeMarcado run? Yeah, we did.
We did. I've never seen a team in run-out-the-clock mode at midfield decide not to take a Hail Mary with, I think it was 8 seconds left. They ran a draw, and he scored from, I think it was 55 yards away or something like that, 53 yards away. How do you let somebody at the end of a half run without being touched for a touchdown from 53 yards out? I bet you that has not happened very much in the history of the game. There's just something about Arizona that I'm just not a believer in. I think it's number one. I think it's Kyler Murray more than anything else. So I am selling the Arizona Cardinals from making the postseason. What else? Anything else?
That's all I got.
I mean, I think I did this last week. I think I sold the Atlanta Falcons just because defensively I just didn't think that they were anywhere near good enough. Now, I didn't sell them from winning the division. They beat the Cowboys and they got after Dak Prescott. They're the team that's going to be an interesting team in the NFC. They keep getting better offensively. They can beat you by running the football or throwing the football. If they just get they're kind of like Washington, Denton, without the you know elite quarterback. Kirk's very good, though, and playing at a high level. But defensively, that's their Achilles heel. And if they improve just a little bit defensively, they could easily win 11 or 12 games and be hosting at least a playoff game, if not two. Like, I discounted the NFC South winner from being in that conversation of a top two seed. I still look at it as the NFC East winner and the NFC North winner. But I think the Falcons are so good offensively that they just need a tick up. And I think they have the easiest remaining schedule in that division. So they're going to more likely than not win that division. All right, we'll do five burning NFL questions when we come back. We've got a guest on from New Orleans. John Hendricks will join us. He is with Sports Illustrated to talk. Marshawn Lattimore was somebody who's been watching him recently. We'll do that at noon. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the Team980.com.
They're hot. They're really hot. They're burning. It's Denton's five burning questions.
Kick it off here. What do you got?
All right, first question. I kind of alluded to the topic in the buy or sell, but do you think that we will see an increase in quarterback statistics during the second half of the season? It's felt like that quarterback play has been a little down this year.
But hasn't it really picked up in the last like 4 or 5 weeks?
It has. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, touchdown passes were and yards, but touchdown passes were way down to start. You gave this to me yesterday because I think I asked you how many touchdown passes Burrow had, and he already had 20, right?
He had 20, but he does not lead Baker Mayfield as 23.
23. So he's on pace. Has he played 8 games or 9 games?
Baker, I believe, has played 9. I think
both. So he's still on pace for last year. Prescott led the league with 36. There were only 4 quarterbacks that threw for 30 or more. So you've got Mayfield and Burrow. Who else is up there? Cousins is up there, I think.
Yeah, Lamar has 20. Kirk has 17. Darnold and Allen each.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of on pace for a couple of these guys to end up with more touchdowns than Prescott had last year. So the answer is yes.
All right. Burning question number 2. Does Dak Prescott play again this year? He's going to miss a couple of weeks with a hamstring injury. The potential of him returning to a broken season or a donezo season is very high for Dallas.
Well, I mean, they traded a 4th rounder for Jonathan Mingo. They got to get that, you know, relationship started. What a dumb trade. I mean, talk about overpaying. I guess if he misses the next 2 and they're 3-7, the answer is yes. He's going to play. He's the highest paid player in the league. If he's healthy, he's going to play. You're not sitting him for the rest of the year to save him for next year. He's not going to play if he's truly compromised, but if he's healthy, he'll play. I say he'll be healthy enough and he will play. Maybe as soon as Washington here on the weekend before Thanksgiving.
All right, burning question number 3. Do you think that Antonio Pierce gets another year in Las Vegas?
Nope.
Oh, that was a quick one.
Yeah, it's been bad there. I mean, they've lost like 6 in a row, something like that. Yeah. Some of these games haven't been close. You know, it's funny, when he got that interim job, when Josh McDaniel got fired last year, I think I've told this story, but Cooley called me up and he said he will get the head coaching job. He's not going to be an interim coach. They will give him the job. And I said, why? And he said, the smartest teammate that I ever played with, the most natural leader, and was the most obvious guy that I ever played with that everybody said he's going to be a coach and a good one. Well, he was right. He did get that job. He's not done a lot with it so far. And the Raiders are very impulsive, Mark Davis, et cetera. They will go out, you know, big game hunting in the offseason for a coach.
All right, number 4. Well, we talk about the NFC West, who will finish at the top of it. Who do you think finishes at the bottom of the NFC West? They're all kind of gridlocked at the same record or a similar record.
I like the Rams right now. I like the 49ers, assuming they get healthy. By the way, this isn't an easy game this weekend against Tampa, but it is a short week. God, I just sold the Cardinals. I'll go Arizona, even though they're in first place now. That's out on a limb. I mean, they're only one game from the bottom. I'll go Arizona finishes in last. What do you think? You like Arizona.
I like them more than most, but it's really just because they don't really make sense. I mean, they shouldn't be good, but they are good. I kind of think Seattle finishes last.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so I'm going with Seattle. All right, final
I'll go
one
with Arizona.
Here. Final one here. Who wins more games this year? The 7-2 Washington Commanders or the 7-2 Buffalo Bills? When do you think we'd ever ask that question?
Well, didn't we go through the Bills' schedule recently? I'm pulling it up right now.
They have a much tougher schedule than
the Commanders.
Oh, my God, it was
brutal, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Look at this schedule that the Bills have. So I just told you that this game's a bit of a trap game this weekend at Indy. I think they could lose that game. Then they have the Chiefs. Massive game. Then they have the 49ers. Then they have the Rams on the road. Then they have the Lions on the road. How about that four-game stretch? Chiefs, Niners, Rams, Lions. They finish with two out of their final three are against the Patriots, and they also have the Jets at home. I'll say they win five more games, which would get them to 12. They win the same number. Washington, I predicted 12-5 when we redid our schedule prediction last week. I'll say they win the same number, 12 games. Was that a
doesn't that feel
an
so,
answer I wasn't supposed to give?
No, you're good. I mean, just doesn't that feel so good to say that Washington's going to win 12 games? It's funny. So I taped an episode of Denton's Office, which will air tomorrow on the Team 980's YouTube page. Everybody go check it out. I actually found 13 wins for Washington. Like, I mapped out the schedule, and I had 13 wins, and that's with them losing both games to Philadelphia.
Well, then, did they win the division at 13-4?
I didn't go through Philly's games, so like I
that would but, suck to be 13-4 and end up in a tiebreaker where you lose, and you know, yeah. I mean, look, they're going to be an underdog. We said this 2 weeks ago. They're probably only going to be an underdog in one more game this year, and that is at Philly a week from tomorrow night. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, because that look-ahead line should be up, Denton.
You know, it's funny. I'm trying to find it now.
Philly's a 3.5-point favorite right now.
Oh, I see it at 3 at the book I use. Right. So it's around that number,
book,
though.
3.5-point favorite. I think that will be the last time Washington, they're favored this week. They'll be favored at home against the Cowboys, favored at home against the Titans, favored on the road against the Saints, and then I think they'll be favored at home against the Eagles. It depends. I mean, they could be an underdog to the Eagles depending on what, you know, how the two teams are playing. And I guess the same, you know, applies to Atlanta. But, you know, at Dallas at the end of the year, that's not going to be a game Dallas is going to have to win. And so they'll probably, and maybe Washington won't have, we should throw the Dallas game out of the conversation because it could be a meaningless game for both teams. But the next seven games, they'll probably only be an underdog in one of them. So you're saying right there they could win six of them if they're the favorite. Let's just say they win five, that gets them to 12. And then, yeah, I'm with you. And I didn't count the Dallas game. 12 or 13 seems right. 12 seems right to me. Look, cold weather, still interested to see how he plays in cold weather. The cold weather games right now are going to be the home games because they're road games late in the year or in New Orleans in the Superdome and in Jerry World to end the season.
12
wins. Wow. We've got a guess. We'll go to New Orleans next, find out about Marshawn Lattimore from somebody who covered him. After that, Adam Peters scheduled to address the media. We will carry that live. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.